we celebrate called Christmas. We also realize that while we're celebrating Christmas, this is a time that many are facing tragic situations, difficult times. The people in the Midwest are facing difficult times. People have been devastated by storms and devastated by this terrible disease called COVID. But I want us to reflect on the fact that God is the one who has the last word. And one day he will bring about his peace, his joy, and his glory over all the earth. Amen. Continue to pray for those that are in need. And as we join together today, I want to bring you a brief message from the Gospel of St. Matthew. St. Matthew's Gospel. We have been talking about the ministry of angels, and we've been asking a question, do you believe in angels? And of course, we've been bringing passages that have been talking about and referring to how angels came and brought messages. They encouraged, they helped us, or they helped those that were in the Bible and helped us. Whether you see an angel is not as important as you receiving the message that they bring. They speak to us sometimes when we tell ourselves, something told me. Well, if something told you and it was good, it came from God. And it was probably an angel referring or giving you that bit of information. Matthew's gospel tells us about the visitation of the angel to a man by the name of Joseph. We pick up reading in verse number 18, where Matthew is giving us his rendition of how the Lord came to be among us. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Thus ends the reading of God's holy word. You may be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Father, we thank you again for this awesome privilege that we have of celebrating Christmas, but also celebrating your mighty word. Speak to our hearts now, we pray, and God, just bless us in hearing that we might become doers of your mighty word. We pray this in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to someone's heart today, especially those who are struggling with the situations in life. May they receive the message of your truth and be delivered by your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Jay, take the screen. I want to talk to you just a few minutes about this subject, good people in difficult situations. Good people in difficult situations. How do you face these situations? How do you deal with these matters that come about? If there's one thing that I've found that's true of all humans, we will all face some difficult times and difficult situations in life. It'll either come in this time that we live, or it'll come at the end of time. Make no mistake about it. No one can escape the problems and the circumstances of life. But what concerns me today is that when we think of God speaking to us, or when we think of God sending angels to help us through these difficult situations, a lot of people come up with this sci-fi mentality. That is, they believe that we're visited by some alien or some foreign being from another planet. And I just want to say and address that situation or that particular line of thought today by saying God created everything. God made the heavens and the earth. God made all beings that exist. And so therefore, if you are visited by an angel or by what you might call extraterrestrial, it all came from God. It came from Him. And while, yes, we may get messages from that, don't get hung up on the messenger. Let me repeat, don't get hung up on the messenger. Receive the message that has been given. Receive what God has to say to you and God's guidance that is given to you. Now, why do we concern ourselves and why do we talk about the ministry of angels? Well, for one fact, we have God speaking to us, but a lot of times we're not listening. God's given us His holy word, which is righteous, but many times people don't even pick up their Bible. And so the Lord will have to intervene in other ways. God can speak to you, and He does speak to you directly. But He also uses the agents of what we call angels. He sends them to tell us. He sends them to warn us of things that are happening in our life. The second thing that I think we should realize, if the devil can talk to you, if the devil can bring a thought to your mind, or if the devil can bring a suggestion to your heart, why can't God? If the devil tells you go out and go do wrong, why is it so strange that God would speak to us and lead us in the right direction? Do I have any witnesses? So if the devil is speaking, and obviously a lot of folk are following him. You got people today, they're confused about who they are. They're confused about their identity. They're confused about all of these things. Well, ladies and gentlemen, please seek God. Please ask God, and He will help you through all of those identity crises, through all of those situations that will come your way. The Lord promises that He will guide us in the path of truth if we would simply listen to the truth. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Humans are in constant need of direction. Constant need. You cannot lean on your own understanding, otherwise you will become lost. Otherwise you will become confused and frustrated. You got a lot of people now that in the Midwest, they're facing all of these problems and all of these things that they're going through. And I want to tell you something. God is not just standing by with His arms folded. The Lord is reaching out with His arms outstretched. He says, "Whosoever will, let him come." Yes, we need divine guidance. Yes, we need the power of God's wisdom. And it is available to us and to everyone who will call upon His name. The Lord be praised. The Bible tells us that the things revealed, or the earthly things, they belong to us. But the things that are hidden or unrevealed or heavenly, they belong to God. Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29. And so at times when God wants you to see not your plan, but His plan, He will show it to you. He will reveal it to you. Some of us might have what we call, or I call, Jacob's ladder situations. In the book of Genesis, it brings out the fact that Jacob was at a point where his brother Esau wanted to kill him. Now, Jacob had done him wrong. He had deceived him. He had taken things from him. And now Jacob had to run out of town. He had to leave. Now, even though he was chosen of God, you might say he was in a bad situation. He tried his own trickery to get things done. How many of y'all ever been in that situation where you just want to help God out instead of letting the Lord have His own way? Jacob had tried to bring about things that only God could bring about. And now, in the middle of nowhere, at a place called Bethel, he needed to hear something. And while he lay down to sleep, God let down a ladder from heaven. According to Genesis 28 and verse 12 and 13, that ladder that was let down from heaven, angels were going up and angels were coming down. The angels were hearing and bringing messages from God to Jacob so that he would understand God's plan. You talk about an identity crisis. How's being in the middle of nowhere, not knowing who you are, not knowing what you're supposed to do, but God spoke to him. And may I suggest to you that in your time of need, God will speak to you. God will give you direction. It may not be a ladder let down from heaven, but you better believe there's information available to you from heaven. God can make a way out of no way. We simply need to call upon him and to trust that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us and not we ourselves. This is the situation that here Joseph finds himself in. No, he's not in the middle of a wilderness, but he's in the middle of what he thought was a mess. He's in the middle of something that he had no control over, and he ponders, what do I do next? How do I go about this? And the Bible, I love the way it brings this man to us because it points to his weakness. It points to the fact that he didn't have the answer. And the Bible said that he lay down and he slept, or he was going to sleep. And while he was pondering, which direction should I go? Should I make her a public example? And when I tell you that the thought of making her a public example was serious, believe me, it was serious. Under the Old Testament law, Mary, if she had been reported, could have been stoned to death. She could have been killed. Her life literally lay in the hands of Joseph, who was going to make this decision. And you could already tell from the text that he didn't want to go that way. He didn't want to make that critical decision to end her life. He was thinking about, well, I'll just give her a writ of divorce. I'll just divorce her privately. Whereas he didn't have to disclose all the terms, just said, hey, we don't want to get married. We don't want to go through with this. That's where a lot of you are. You're in the middle of a situation you didn't cause, and you're saying to yourself, I don't want to go through with it. I don't know how I'm going to have the strength to deal with this, so here I am in the middle of a mess, and I just want to say, you know what, I'm done. Matter of fact, some of you said that this year. In 2021, you said to yourself, I'm done. I'm finished. And yet, you're not at peace about it. You're still living. And whether you know it or not, what I call in the country, you got a cuckaburra situation. Some of y'all don't know what that is. But a cuckaburra will stick to you. You try to get rid of it, and the more you try to get it off of you, it continues to cling. In the middle of a mess, now what do you do? How do you deal with it? There was something as I was reading in my study, something that we had that I reflected on. Dr. Martin Luther King in 1968, he delivered a message in Memphis, Tennessee. And he reflected on something that had happened to him in 1958. He was joining a protest. He was now a young man and trying to make sure that civil rights became something that was a core value to him. And in the place where he was stabbed. A young woman came up and took a letter opener. She had a gun. I think she was planning on shooting him or either. She took the letter opener and stabbed him in the chest. Stabbed him. And he reflected on that. While he was recovering from that, he said that a young girl, a young white girl, wrote to him. Because doctors had commented, she'd read in the newspaper where Dr. King had been stabbed and how the doctor had said that if he had sneezed, Brother James Jones can do a better job at this than I can, but if he had sneezed, it would have ended his life. And so the young girl simply wrote him a note that said, I'm glad you didn't sneeze. Dr. King went on to say, he said, I too am glad I didn't sneeze. Because if I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around in 1960 when students all over the South started sitting in at lunch counters if I had sneezed. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have been around in 1961 when we decided to take a ride for freedom and end segregation and interstate travel. If I had sneezed, I would not have been here in 1963 when the people of Birmingham, Alabama, aroused the conscience of a nation and brought into being the Civil Rights Bill if I had sneezed. If I had sneezed, I wouldn't have had a chance later in the year in August to try to tell America about a dream I had. I'm so happy that I didn't sneeze. Can I say to you today, don't sneeze your way through life. A sneeze is an allergic reaction that you don't like something. Here was Joseph in a problem, in a mess that he did not create. But I'm glad he didn't sneeze. Do I have some witnesses here? When we look at this, a sneeze represents our human movement. It's our own efforts to change things and to solve our own problems. Dr. Andrew Young said later about Dr. King, while he was awaiting medical attention, Martin remained completely calm, as his nature was. He realized that a wrong move could have ended his life. I'm asking you, think about your next move. And whatever you do, don't sneeze. Before he could even think about sneezing, an angel came down and held his nostril. Do I have some witnesses here? God intervenes in those moments to help us through those times because we can't solve all the problems in life. Let me tell you what the problem is about solving COVID. Let me tell you what the problem is. We've got so many people who think they know the answer. When every one of us ought to get on our knees and talk to the one who's got the answer. Can I get some witnesses here? Look at somebody, tell them don't sneeze. Please note that Joseph faced the situation not with panic, but with careful thought. Had he panicked and made the wrong move, that would have meant sudden death for Mary. By the way, had he panicked and made the wrong move, that would have messed with God's plan. God had already picked him out to be the man. God had already chosen him to be the husband, but he didn't really know it. You see, when the angel came to talk to Mary and tell her, this is God's plan, you're going to be with child, it's going to be the Holy Spirit. By the way, there was no need of sexual relation in this because Jesus already existed as a personality. He was just in glory. All God wanted to do is borrow, amen, Mary to give him a flesh body so he could be brought about into this world. Do I have some witnesses here? So as we look at this today, we see that now this is being fulfilled and Joseph is right in the middle of it. May I just bring this first suggestion to you today? You don't know if the problem that you're in right now may not have been orchestrated by God to get you to the place where you need to be in life. So whatever you do, don't sneeze. Don't make a wrong move. Don't say, I got it. Trust the Lord and God will lead you in the right direction. I wish I had a praying church this day. This brings us to an observation that we need to bear with today or that we need to observe. The first thing that I think is important for us, don't conclude. We often conclude that an investigation by only relying on our own understanding. We want to investigate, but then we want to solve it based on our understanding of the facts. Let me put it to you this way. Here's how I see it. Sound familiar? Here's my summary of the problem. This is what I think we ought to do. Do I have some witnesses here? The Bible said that then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, I got to loose my tie and preach this way. Being a just man and not willing to make her a public example was minded. That's the human mind for you. But I'm going to tell you something. There are a whole lot of things that the human mind can't understand. I cannot understand how God took the planets and just threw them up into space and they stayed there. I can't understand it. I can't understand how he made the ocean and told it, don't go past this border right here, and it's staying there today. I can't understand it. I can't understand it. He makes something real as air, and yet you can't see it, but you can sure enough feel it. I can't understand it, but I tell you what, even though you can't understand it, you can trust him. I feel like preaching today. Anybody in the house? Here was Joseph, a just man, a just man. But he's in a divine situation. If he makes the wrong move, that will mean that everything is off, or so we think. Are y'all gonna pray? The Lord watches over us for our good, but also for his will. Let me say that again. God watches over you for your good. We like that part of it. Yeah, we tell God, I like that. But he also watches over us for his will. Either you're going to do it or he'll get somebody else. I wish I had a praying church here. The Bible tells us that while Mary knew what happened, when she tried to relate that to Joseph, he was saying, he did what? He said, what? It's hard to tell other folk what God has done for you, especially when they don't see the... I wish I had somebody to pray with me today. They don't see the results of it. The Bible said that Joseph was a just man. But while he thought on these things, look at somebody, tell him, while I'm thinking. Look at somebody else, tell him, while I'm thinking. Yeah, you better think about it before you act. Amen. As they say in the construction field or contractors, you better measure twice before you cut once. I wish I had a praying church here. While he thought on these things, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him. I just want to tell you that angels, it don't take them long to get from glory to you. Somebody ought to shout on that. I've been waiting a long time. No. You ain't got to wait a long time. All you got to do is get ready. If you get ready, God's ready. Are you? Amen. While he thought on these things, amen, the angel appeared and said, Joseph, you son of David. In other words, I want to get the right man. Fear not to take unto you Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. During the night, God sent the angel. He let down that ladder, maybe not in the form that Jacob saw it, but he let down something where Jacob could get the information, and the angel descended and told him about the fact that he needed to take on the role of a husband. This brings us to the second observation. The first one we looked at, don't lean to your own understanding. Don't just conclude with your own investigation. But the second observation says, divine opportunities are wrapped up in difficult situations. Can I talk about it? I'm talking about a divine opportunity is often wrapped up in a difficult situation. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but how many of y'all in a difficult situation? You don't know what to do and you don't know where to turn, but I can tell you this, don't sneeze. Whatever you do, don't sneeze. Don't make that wrong move. Henry Blackaby, in his book called Experiencing God, says that these divine situations are God-sized. They're bigger than you. They're bigger than me. One of the things that we've got to learn here in America is not what you do as an individual, but it's what we do together. It takes more than one person to make a church. It takes more than one person to make a family. It takes more than one person to make a community. It takes more than one person to make a nation. And if we would learn that, we would work together. Do I have some witnesses in here? What do you mean by a God-sized situation? God purposely puts you into something that's bigger than you, but not only is it bigger than you, you don't have the strength to deal with it. Some of you say to yourself, I don't know whether I can make it one more day. That's true. You can't make it one more day. Because your next heartbeat comes from God Almighty. Are you here today? Everything you do has got to be done by God. Amen, somebody. And one songwriter said, I can't even walk unless he holds my hand. Do I have some witnesses here? You got to trust God. So what do you do when you're in a divine situation that God created, which you now are saying, this is a mess? It might look like a mess, but God can take a mess and work a miracle. I wish I had somebody to pray with me today. Yes, Lord. Here's Joseph in this situation. He's taking it slow. He's like Dr. King. He said, now I can't make a move here because if I make a move, boy, that's going to be bad. While he thought on these things, God sent an angel from glory. I want to talk just a little bit about a call from dilemma to duty. A call from a problem to power. Are y'all going to talk with me? I got a mess right now, but I'm looking for a miracle. I got something I can't deal with right now, but God's going to make a way out of no way. My job right now is don't sneeze. Do whatever you need to do, but don't sneeze. The angel visited him and relayed God's message, and Joseph acted, not reacted. Let me say that again. Joseph acted, but not reacted. A whole lot of us, something happened to, oh, God. Now, are you praising him or are you just frantic? If you're frantic, you're sneezing. Huh? The Bible says, stand still and see the salvation of God. Quit moving around. Even when they give you that vaccine needle, they'll tell you, don't move. Are y'all here today? So when you're in the middle of a problem and God's getting ready to stick you, don't move. Some of y'all didn't get that. Oh, I need the Lord to bless me. Yeah, he's going to bless you, but he's going to stick you first. Because what you need needs to get down into your heart, into your spirit, so that you can know that God can make a way out of no way. You need to know that today. Let me hold still now. Let me hold still. Let me get ready for it. Let me just hold still. Don't move. Because God is getting ready to have his way. Ladies and gentlemen, as we look at this, a lot of us may not be in the circumstance where Joseph was, in the middle of a problem that we don't understand, but here's where the Spirit begins to move. Here's where the power of God begins to move. As in some point in life that you'll get to a place where you need to move from just embracing the truth to being empowered by the truth. You coming in here in a sermon every week, that's good. I'm glad you're here. But what I want to see happen is for you in that pew that you're in, be still and get enough power in your spirit to where you can walk out of here where the devil at. You can walk out of here and say, wait a minute, I ain't taking the devil no more. God is moving in my life. You got to know that he has come to empower you. Watch how God empowered Joseph. It's in your book. It's in your book. Read it. While the angel was talking to him, he was listening. Now, he's sleeping now. He's sleeping. This is just a dream, but it's not just a dream. It's a God dream. If God gives you a God-sized assignment, he wants to give you a God-sized dream or God-sized information. Are y'all still in the building today? In other words, you're not just average, all right? I know life is telling you, you ain't nothing. You beneath nothing. You know, I always knew I was better than Jimmy Coleman's son. I ain't never worried about that. And then when I got saved, I understood I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the Most High King. I'm a child of the one who made the heavens and the earth. Why should I be discouraged? Why should I be dismayed? I might not have the answer, but I know the one who does. Oh, just stand. Look at somebody for this fourth time and tell them, don't sneeze. Especially, I don't want you sneezing up on me. Yes, Lord. Here's the good news. Joseph got the point. But more than getting the point, he got the power. Look at that verse that says, arising from his sleep. Arising from his sleep. He listened to God. Now he's getting ready to arise from his sleep. Can I call him JoJo? What you gonna do now, JoJo? What you gonna do now? You're not sleeping now. But notice, he does not get out of bed with the same problem on his mind. Somewhere during the night, he turned it over to the Lord. Now him and God's gonna work it out. I know you thought I said God's going to work it out. No. You got some work to do yourself. Look at somebody, tell them, don't sneeze, but get ready to work. He arises from sleep, and he does what the angel has told him. Did you get that? He doesn't go over to the neighborhood and begin to talk to them and say, you know what, I got an angel to visit me last night, and the angel said, no, he doesn't talk to anybody. You can't tell folk everything. Some folk gonna think you crazy. Other folk already think you crazy. You can't tell everybody because it's none of their business. It might become their business, but right now you and God got to work this thing out. May I tell you how you work it out? Pray about it. Everything that you have on your mind, even when you say, God, I'm going to do this, talk to the Lord about it. And you know what the Lord will do? He'll direct every footstep that you make. God will show you how that you can make it through this thing. Can I tell you something else? I was going to bring a ladder up here so I could put a visual picture with it. But you imagine here's Jacob and here's Joseph in the middle of a situation feeling that it's got them feeling low. But step by step, they begin to move up that ladder. When you move up the ladder, you can see a little bit better. Oh, I can see clearly now what God wants me to do. But if you stay down there talking about what you got to do, you ain't going to do nothing. And for some of you that's listening to him, yeah, I'm talking to you. You got to do what God told you to do. You got to work this thing out. You got to let him have his way. And when you get up with power, you can't do anything else but let the Lord have his way. Do I have some witnesses? Joseph arose and did as the Lord had bidden him. Here's the point. If Joseph did not act on God's word, he would have by default acted on his own understanding. If he had not acted on God's word. And guess what? Delaying action would have meant disobedience to God's will. Or I'm going to do it. Going to do it ain't getting it done. Amen. By time on your job, you say, I'm going to do that. You haven't done it yet. And some of y'all wasn't like when I had a lot of jobs, but one job I had, a couple of jobs I had. It's called production. You can talk all you want to about I'm going to do it, but if you don't produce, you don't get paid. You'll have some witnesses. You got to understand that this thing is about production. Don't just go around telling, I'm a Christian. Produce it. Produce it, live by it, and God will bless you. Joseph took to him Mary, his wife. She needed him. She needed that husband. She needed, amen, even though she could have made it with just the Lord. Like y'all tell, all I need is Jesus. No, come on now. You quit that. Why you think the Lord put you in the world with other folk and you give them here talking about, I don't need nobody. Single women talking about, I don't need no man. I'm preaching now. And men stand around talking, I don't need no woman. Come on, bro. You ain't crazy. As Dean Martin said, everybody needs somebody sometime. We need each other. And we need most of all God to guide us in our relationship. Let me hurry up and close this message. Folks on the outside saying, when he going to close this message? You may not know how God is planning to use you, but you can rest assured God is planning to use you. You may not know when, but all you got to do is get ready. I want to close with these four takeaways. Write these down, please. Number one, what do we learn from the visit of the angel? When God gives you his message, kick yours to the curb. How's that? When God tells you this is what you're supposed to do, kick yours to the curb. Don't even say, well, let me box it up. I might. No, you ain't going to need it. You're not going to need it. Second lesson. There's no need of you talking about woulda, shoulda, coulda, and playing these regret scenarios. When you make a decision for God, walk in it. Walk in it. Walk in your decision that you decided to make Jesus your choice. Put the devil to shame. Tell him, devil, no matter how much you talk to me, I'm going on with Jesus. How many of y'all plan on going on with Jesus? Third thing that I want to tell you today, you got to get rid of this what's in it for me element. Take that out of the mix. Because God's going to take care of you. He never would have empowered you to do his will if he was not going to take care of you. Number four, realize that God's message, with God's message, you don't need everybody's approval. Let me say that again. With God's message, come on, say that with me. With God's message, I don't need everybody's approval. Come on, say it one more time. It feels good. With God's message, I don't need everybody's approval. Amen. Amen. Somebody, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God. And why do you say that, preacher? God's plan does not need public support. It doesn't need a vote from Congress. It doesn't need legislation. Matter of fact, it doesn't even need you. But if you're willing, and if you're listening, last point I want to tell you, don't sneeze. Don't sneeze. Go on and do what the Lord has told you to do. When you get up, say, Lord, thank you for giving me grace. Thank you for taking me to the mountaintop. Thank you for showing me what I am in your sight. Joseph was a good man. But now he's an empowered man. He's not just a just man, but he's a man that's heard from God. You need to be a person that is heard from God. The Lord told me to pray. The Lord told me to sing. The Lord told me to help somebody. God's sending you out into a world where you can share that message. As I close today and concluding with this, a lot of us are in situations where we sneeze our way through. We might be going along just to get along, but we don't agree with it. We're having all of these adverse and allergic reactions to things that God is saying, you need to walk through this. The best way to know that God is real is to know him in a valley. When you meet God and walk with God and he walks with you through the valley, it might be painful, but it's always possible. Somebody said he can make a way out of no way. It is no secret what God can do. What He's done for others, He'll do the same for you. One thing I close with, I learned that Joseph didn't do in all of his thinking and all of his being a just man. Nowhere in the text do you find that he was a praying man. But I guarantee you, when you get in God's will, now you got to pray. Now you got to say, Lord, help me. Help me make it over this valley. A lot of times you're going to find yourself getting weak, but you can say, Lord, I need you to make me strong. Won't he do it, church? Won't he lift you up? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he do the impossible? But you got to let go and let God. You got to stop telling yourself, I got it, when you know you ain't got it. Let the Lord get a hold of you. He'll take you to places you've never been. He'll lift you higher, higher, higher. Won't he do it, church? Won't he make a way? Won't he provide for you? Somebody said, when I look back over my life, I see where he brought me from. I want to tell you this, and just instead of looking back, you need to look ahead and look where God's going to take you. But you got to trust him. You got to believe him. You got to know he's got all power. All power. All power. All power is in his hand. I'm so glad. I'm so glad on a Wednesday morning back in 1952, about 6 o'clock in the morning, born by a midwife over in Red Oak, Virginia. God said, I got a purpose. I got a plan for this boy right here. 69 years later, I can tell you that I didn't sneeze, but God made a way out of nowhere. Any good? Come on, lift your hands. Come on, lift your hands. Say, God, I thank you. Thank him. Can't nobody do it but God. I know I got to go to my seat right now. But I can tell you that he's a mighty good leader. He's a mighty good leader. All the way. All the way. From earth to glory. He's a mighty good leader. All the way. I'm done. I'm finished. But I want to give the invitation. There might be somebody struggling over a situation, struggling over an issue that you can't stand, that you can't understand, and you want to be rid of it. But instead of you getting rid of it, get a hold of God. Get a hold of God. Don't sneeze now. Don't sneeze. But go ahead and do what God would have you to do. If there's someone, I could preach on. It looked like y'all ready for some more preaching, but I got to close this thing. I got to close. I got to give an invitation. There might be someone in the parking lot, online, or in here that you've never accepted God's message. I don't know what kept you from it. I don't know what held you back. But right now, the Holy Spirit is getting a hold of your heart. And he's saying, come to me, and I will provide for all your need. If that's you, if you're online, send us a message on our website, crossroadbc.com. If you're in the parking lot, I'll be out there a little bit. I had to put on my raincoat, but I'll be out there. Talk with you. These ministers, we can help you to show you the answer. If you're in here, you can just say, Pastor, I need Christ, and come down the aisle. We may have to give you a fist pump, but come down the aisle. Let somebody know, I want to go God's way. Father, we thank you for the service. We thank you for blessing us today. And thank you, God, that when we would have sneezed our way through life, you calmed our fears. You helped us conquer our allergic reactions to righteousness. You helped us through the valley, through the storm. God, you made a way, even where there was no way. And we just want to say thank you. We just want to say hallelujah. Lord, today we surrender to your will. We surrender to your way because you are God. Help that one that's near as hell without eternity. Help that one that's in need of your guidance. And guide us all by your grace. We humbly pray through our powerful Christ and our Lord. In his name we pray. Amen. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily. Here we go, y'all. I surrender all. Surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. Come on, let's sing the chorus again. I surrender all. Yes, I do. Everybody stand on your feet as we worship the Lord. Oh, I surrender all. Lord, I surrender. I surrender all to Jesus.
Get ready to leave. I was sitting down, and normally I don't do this, but the Spirit is pushing me. And I was sitting there. You can keep playing. I was sitting there, and I was listening to Pastor Coleman said, don't sneeze. I flipped over in front of my Bible, and I had wrote it down. And when I say this, he's going to remember saying this in his message a while back. But he said, don't sneeze. And I want to add to it, it's not about where you are, but it's about where you're going. We are soldiers on our way to glory. And God speaks to all of us. And he lets us know right from wrong. He lets us know who to trust. He lets us know that with God, all things are possible. I'm going to stop in a minute. But I got to say it while the Spirit is speaking. And y'all excuse me. But God is telling us in these last and evil days, get ready. Our days and our time is numbered. One of us might leave here in the next second. But he's telling us to get ready. No matter how many degrees you got, no matter how much education you got, how much money you got in your bank, no matter what kind of car you drive, but God is telling us to get ready. Our days are coming. But while we're here, we can prepare on this side. But once our final number is called, there's no more work on this side can be done. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, get to know him. Get to know him in 2021 so you'll be ready for 2022. Shall we pray? Our Father and our God, the creator of all mankind, Lord, you are the ruler of this earth. You created this earth and you created mankind. Father, we realize that we can't even walk without you holding our hand. We can't speak, Father, without you tickling our vocal cords to utter the next word. But Father, we thank you for our life, our health, and our strength. Lord, as we get ready to leave this place, remind us, Father, not to sneeze. But go on in Jesus' name. Remind us, Father, not to sneeze, but hold on to your everlasting arms. Remind us, Father, not to sneeze, but realize it's not where we are, but where we are going. Lord, as we leave this place, dismiss us from this place, Father, but not from thy holy presence. Give us strength. And as we go out to this day, Father, let us be a blessing to someone with a smile, handshake, or just a bump of a fist. And let us be an encouragement to somebody that no matter how hard you may have it right now, God has the final say. No matter what you're going through, who you're lost, God still has your best interest in mind. Father, dismiss us from this place, but not from our holy presence. Father, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Go in peace.